Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this is episode 92, Exponential Business Growth with Mark Newsom, Unlocking Hidden Revenue, The Power of Customer Lifetime Value, Strategic Upsells, and J. Abraham Inspired Marketing for Thought Leaders. What this episode will do for you is learn about Mark Newsom's marketing evolution, how he transitioned from real estate investing to small business marketing, discovering innovative strategies for cash flow optimization, and explore how J. Abraham's marketing principles shaped Mark's approach, as well as having influenced the thought process of strategic thought leadership. Learn about the power of customer lifetime value by understanding why treating customers as long-term partners, not just one-time transactions, leads to exponential business growth. Learn about leveraging upsells and cross-promotions. Discover how small businesses can boost revenue by strategically offering complementary products and services. Owning your marketing assets. Learn why relying solely on social media is risky and why now building an email list provides long-term stability and control. And understand more about exponential growth in the digital age, uncovering the three key levers of business growth: more customers, higher purchase frequency, and increased transaction value, and how to optimize them. But before we dive into this episode further, let me share the purpose behind Thought Leadership Studio, especially if you're new here. I'm Chris McNeil, developer of The Thought Process of Strategic Thought Leadership and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership, set to release in May 2025. This podcast and the book are designed to challenge conventional thinking about marketing and influence, offering a deeper exploration of ideas that can empower you to create breakthroughs in your own marketing and leadership journey. Strategic thought leadership doesn't lend itself to an elevator pitch because it challenges the dominant marketing model. It shifts the focus from treating prospects as targets to listening deeply to their learning needs and creating empowering content that helps them make better decisions and derive greater value. And also leads them to revere the unique attributes of your offering. And that's why I created this podcast, to offer a space for exploring these transformative ideas and to help you self-select into the opportunities that resonate most with your goals. And a key part of this learning process is providing models of excellence, which is why I interview remarkable individuals who excel in areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. Their stories and strategies serve as powerful examples, offering practical insights you can adapt to elevate your own influence and impact. And if today's episode sparks something in you, if you sense the potential for greater clarity, purpose, or success, I invite you to schedule a free consultation with me. It's an opportunity to explore how strategic thought leadership can amplify your results. You can visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, linked in the description, to access resources like my free ebook, Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, and additional content designed to support your growth. In this episode, I'm excited to introduce Mr. Marketing himself, Mark Newsom, a small business marketing expert known for innovative cash flow boosting strategies. We talk a lot about the strategies of a mutual influence, J. Abraham, and how these timeless marketing strategies apply in the digital age and how they connect to strategic thought leadership. Strategic thought leadership is largely about shifting perspectives to uncover hidden value, much like principles we discussed do, such as exponential growth. These ideas emphasize maximizing customer relationships, leveraging strategic partnerships, and optimizing hidden assets. Key themes in Mark's approach to marketing. Mark and I explore how these classic strategies translate to today's digital landscape, where businesses can scale faster than ever by combining email marketing, joint ventures, and customer lifetime value optimization. He breaks down the three levers of exponential growth: more customers, higher purchase frequency, and increased transaction value, offering practical ways to implement them now. By the end of this episode, you'll have actionable strategies to rethink your marketing, optimize cash flow, and apply proven thought leadership principles for sustainable, scalable success. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host of Thought Leadership Studio, Chris McNeil, and I have the pleasure today of sitting across Zoom with Mark Newsom, who is a seasoned small business marketing consultant renowned for his innovative non-traditional strategies to boost cash flow. With a wealth of expertise, he has empowered numerous entrepreneurs to think outside the box and achieve remarkable growth. Great to have you here, Mark. Welcome.
It's my pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much again for inviting me and allowing me to share some time.
Fantastic. Well, to give our listener a little context, in case the listener is not already familiar with you and your work, was there a pivotal moment or a shift in circumstances or sudden awakening or awareness that set you on a path that's brought you to where you are today, that you could share with the listener as a story, give them some context and background about where you're coming from?
Absolutely. Great question. Well, let me give you the super condensed version, Chris.
Sure.
I started out in a niche of real estate investing called paper. That's a fancy way, as you know, of saying debt. Mm-hmm. And when the whole creative financing thing was exploding, when people would take back financing in order to sell their house because interest rates were too high, or the buyer couldn't qualify, those privately held notes, what we call paper, could be sold or borrowed against, all kind of other stuff. So a group of entrepreneurs started teaching workshops on A, how to invest in paper, no money down, creative finance, or how to be what I became, in essence, a broker, a middleman, who almost like a real estate agent, you'd go out, prospect, find these people who had these notes, and you could help them either sell what's called a full or partial. And the difference in the price, let's say you were the investor, you would give price A, we would take a little bit off, you know, for our fee, and the paper holder would receive the difference. Well, long story short, I didn't know, Chris, then I didn't know anything about marketing or promoting. The industry was archaic. It was dinosaurs, man. So I finally, in desperation, started looking outside the industry. And that's when I found the likes of legends like Dan Kennedy, direct response marketing legend, Jay Abraham, the late great Gary Halbert, all these people. So I finally started to learn how to promote. And a good friend of mine, Bill, who was in what they call a car paper business. In other words, when somebody financed a car, his company would sell those notes and get a percentage. And he was doing, he was rocking full guns. And one day we're talking and he said, Mark, listen, man. He said, I know you think this paper thing is the bomb. He said, but I promise you, the average small business person in America, a service provider, could use these strategies you talk about. I had never thought about it, Chris. And as I started to realize, when I would walk into a local business I said, man, this guy's right, because they weren't doing any of this stuff. So I sort of pivoted and went into that, and I've been going full guns ever since. I'm meeting people like yourself. It's just gotten better and better and more relevant now with AI and all this stuff. It's just no end to it. So that's really like the super condensed story. And I became, since my first name is Mark, I ran with Mr. Marketing. There's several of us out there, but I just thought, hey, that's kind of catchy, and I'll go with that. And I've been learning and sharing and growing and trying to spread the word to small business owners that you don't have to waste all this money on what we call DOA, dead on arrival, traditional type advertising and marketing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And I know those names you spoke of, especially Jay Abraham. You know, I've been a fan of for decades.
Absolutely.
And similarly, I was in the fitness business and seeing how hardly anybody knew how to market effectively.
Exactly. And
especially one thing I really like about Jay is he markets from a customer advocacy standpoint.
Yes.
It's not about just how many people can you convert. It's about another kind of relationship that reveres the customer and honors the customer and helps them get more value by empowering them. And he was one of my early influences on developing strategic thought leadership and the thought process, actually. So he's the guy who taught me that marketing can be a positive force that helps people.
Absolutely. And back, you know what? Just to kind of piggyback what you're saying, years ago in the Nothing Down industry, there was a guy, Dr. Albert J. Lowry, I think he was out of Canada. When you trace back the lineage, Chris, you found out that all of these men and women were either a former student or former salesman or somehow connected to this guy. And yeah. I would dare say the same with Gary Howard, late great Gary Howard, and Jay Abraham. It's the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of brilliant people out there. Don't get me wrong, as you well know. But as you listen to them, you'll start to hear pieces of Jay Abraham. There's just no two ways about it. He's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, huge out-of-the-box thinker. So for our listener, what are your favorite Jay Abraham strategies?
Oh, man, how much time do we have, my friend?
We got time.
The simplest one, is it okay if I name three?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the first one you've already elaborated on. Jay is a master of not just teaching tactics, but a strategical thinking that elevates you, because as you said, when it's all said and done, you're friends with your customers. Like, for instance, one of my collaborational partners, just unfortunately, his godfather just passed. So I sent him an email. You know, it has nothing to do with making money. He's a friend. I care about him. And I said, hey, man, unfortunately, I just lost a loved one a year ago. My oldest brother, unfortunately, passed away. So we know the pain of what happens when you lose somebody that's close to you. So I just wrote him an email and said, hey, man, I feel your pain. And, you know, I wish you and your family the best. That has nothing to do with making money. Well, that's the kind of thing Jay Abraham suggests, that you fall in love with your customers and their process so much to the point that, let's say Chris is one of my customers, but I can't help him. But I know somebody who can't. I'm behooved because Chris is my friend first and my customer to let him know about this source that could potentially help him. Now, the short side of it, what? There's no money in it. That's why you're not going to reach the maximum level that he and I are trying to get you to, because of your short-sighted, play the short game type of thinking. That's one. But the other one is the McDonald's. Would you like fries with that? That simple six-word phrase on top of a sale you're already making, ladies and gentlemen, is golden. Now, of course, if you don't sell fast food, you're probably thinking, well, how do I use an upsell, Mark? Anytime your customers purchase something for you, Chris will tell you they're at the hottest level they're going to be. That's why you make an additional offer. You notice when McDonald's says, would you like fries or Coke with that? It's POS, POP, point of purchase, or POS, point of sale. It's now. Chris, I like to describe it like this. You're walking down a hill with a steep incline. I don't have to shove you to get you to move forward. I just give you a little tap. And the forward momentum makes you lean in, doesn't it? That's the power of upselling. Let me show you another thing. That Chris, this one is so mind-boggling. I just did a video, a one-minute reel. I did this thing about, seriously, 8, 9 years ago, if maybe 7, 8 years ago or something, don't quote me on that. But here's my point. A good friend of mine who's in the video editing, he's a genius. He came to my house, put up this white background. He said, Mark, we can't use that wall the way it is. So he put up this background and I shot about a 4-minute video. It's still up on YouTube. Well, I met a contact on LinkedIn. I don't know how he found this video, but he said, Mark, I'd like to make a reel out of this video, maybe 1 minute. I said, okay, you know, go for it. I'll send it to you, Chris. He sliced it up and it talks about the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, when you, the typical now, not people like Chris that are experienced, but the typical entrepreneur, what is the number, Chris? They say it's something like between 500 and 700% more to create a first-time, one-time customer. That's ludicrous. Well, when you mail something, let's say Chris has a product. He mails it out. I'm his joint venture partner. He says, Mark, I'm going to stick your market tested. That's key. Your market tested, extremely time sensitive offer in my product that I'm mailing out. So when my customers open it up, just like if you open up an envelope, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be an extremely time tested offer. The way I work it out with Chris is two things. I could say to Chris, I give you 25 or X percent off the gross. Or once you produce so much revenue or so many customers, I'll bump you to 50% of that front end. Chris is happy because you know what he's really doing? He's lowering the cost of his advertisers' postage. He might eventually, now think about this later, because Chris is a genius. So here's what Chris is already doing. So I'll do that one with Mark. I'll find another non-directly competing vendor. I'll have 2 or 3 offers in there. So ultimately, my postage is free. And I'm making money on the front and the back end. That's how, Chris, isn't that how we go exponential?
That's right.
That's how you go exponential, ladies and gentlemen. But the point is, I'm sorry, I don't want to get too far off, ladies and gentlemen. You have a additional market-tested, extremely time-sensitive. You don't give them to next year to make a decision. They have between 72 hours and maybe 10 days or, you know, whatever Chris thinks is best. Maybe Chris has already tested me. Knows his audience. Mark, we can't give them no more than 72 hours if we want to make a quality decision. But the point is, if you don't have an additional product or something, you find somebody who's non-directly competing. In fact, let's reverse this around, Chris, so we can show how we got it going on. Let's say I'm the one, excuse me, who's marketing a product. I don't know I should have what we call the back end. So Chris points this out to me and he says, Mark, how much are you paying on posts? What percentage of your sales posts? I do the math. I said, oh, Chris, it's like 27%, 34%. And Chris says, how would you like to get that ultimately down to zero in the next 6 months or less? Zero postage? No, I didn't say that. I said, how would you like to lower that cost down? I said, well, how are we doing? Chris said, here's the first thing we're doing. I have this product and service that's perfect for your customers. It's non-directly competing. It's something they're going to buy anyway. But instead of them buying it out there, they're going to buy it from me. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? Chris says, just stick this offer in there. I said, oh, man, okay. And anybody that buys, it'll be coded. I know it comes from you. I'm going to give you X. And I said, okay. And then Chris says, now let's take it a step further, Mark. I want you to find 2 other vendors or I'll help you find it. And you can stick your offers in there too. And what you're going to do is create a contest, in a sense, without saying it. And whoever ends up getting the most money, you're going to drop the other 2. No offense. You're just going to roll with the one who brings you the most money. Now, do you think for Chris showing me that, I wouldn't give him a testimonial letter? You better believe it.
That's right.
Now, does he even have to do this with me after telling me this to still get that testimonial letter? No, not in my book anyway. No. But that's the kind of thing he and I are talking about. We talk about think outside the box. Now, if we wanted to, if Chris and I were on here for 8 hours, we'd go a whole lot deeper, but we don't need to. So the first thing is treat your customers like a relative or a close friend or a colleague. That's the second thing, or first thing. Second thing, have a backup offer, inexpensive market-tested offer that you always send out in your outgoing mail. And I'm going to throw upsells in there too, Chris. But that's the second one, B of the second one. Here's the third one, ladies and gentlemen, that is super, super, super powerful. And this isn't really a Jay Abrahamism, but it could fall into that. Ladies and gentlemen, stop treating your customers like a one-night stand. What that just got talking about, Chris. You spend this 500, 700, X percent to get them. And the moment you get them, you drop them like it's hot and you head off in search of a new first-time customer. We just told you it's going to cost you between 5 and 700%. And no offense, if you really don't know what you're doing, those figures are going to be a lot higher, Chris, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Drill down. What are you saying? You try to get that same customer to spend more, come back more often, and to stay with you long. We're getting into something we're going to call total lifetime customer value. If you don't know that figure, term, concept, Google it. Go watch a video or two.
Yes.
You have the concept down because, Chris, I know you tell your customers, and I know I tell my customers and clients, ladies and gentlemen, until you know what your customer is worth, you're playing Russian roulette with advertising.
That's right.
If your customer is only worth $2,000 over 3 years or $10,000 over 5 years, you're going to go broke spending $15,000, $20,000 on advertising, marketing, whatever you call it.
Right.
You can't spend more than you're bringing in, right? Yeah. I don't care if you're online, offline, it doesn't matter. So you've got to know what your customer is worth. Now, let's say, Chris, you know this is what's going to happen. They're going to say, but Mark, I'm just starting out. How do I know? Then you use the industry, but a caveat. Don't use the people at the top of the pyramid like Chris, because he's already been through the iterations. He knows what to test, what to do. You take somebody who's in that mid or lower rung, whatever their total lifetime customer value, you start with that. And then you keep notes, because this is an individual thing. So you'll know for your business, your service, your products, this is the average. And that's what you start basing your marketing on. If you need any more help, you reach out to Chris and myself.
You are making so many good points, Mark. It's hard to choose which one to dive deeper into. But I'm going to take kind of a stab at it.
Take your pick.
You know, but to help the listener have context, who might be thinking, well, isn't this kind of manipulative? It's not. And the reason it's not is because the overriding strategy of falling in love with your customer, as you mentioned, because we all tend to fall in love with our business, our product, or our service.
At first, right? You are so right. That's the truth.
Yeah, but the customer's the one who sets the value. They're the one who decides what it's worth. And, right. and it's weird. I saw a survey of customers, of financial advisors, who were asked, what was the main deciding factor in choosing a financial advisor? And, you know, somebody would immediately say, well, financial performance. That was like number six.
Be there.
Number one was the sincere desire for a long-term relationship.
There you go.
And when you start studying things like you're talking about, the net margin lifetime value of a customer, and realize how much people spend over, especially when you consider if you have a referral-centric business.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Certain businesses really lend themselves to that. I mean, I had a fitness training business, mm-hmm. and we had multiple locations. And the thing was, how do you help people stay motivated? So on their behalf, it's like, I want you to build a support network. Who do you know you'd like to see getting the same kind of benefits you're doing this for? Mm. We'll send them a no obligation free fitness profile that will show them what they can achieve, what kind of programs are best suited for them, what kind of time frame they can expect results in. There's no obligation to continue at all, courtesy of you, and to help you build a network of people who are aligned with the same kind of goals that you are doing this for.
Fabulous.
So, and the thing that really hooked me on Jay, Mark, was the exponential growth model. Mm. It's like the three ways to grow a customer, and it's like you can increase the number of customers, but you can also increase the number of purchases per customer. Now we're getting into the lifetime value and the amount of the purchase per customer. And if you work on optimizing all three, you through minute changes in all three areas, you can get exponential growth. I mean, if you only increase 10% on each of those, if you get 10% more customers, do a little harder work on the marketing or smarter work as you're promoting. If you get a 10% greater sale through side selling or upselling, and through that long-term relationship, looking out for the customer, putting them first, you have a greater number of purchases because you value the relationship first. You've grown Absolutely. Not 10%, but 33%.
There you go. Do the math. And based on the rule of 72, what do we know, people? 33 divided into 72. That's how much time it's going to take for that figure to double. You, man, like you said, you're talking exponential algebra. Chris, just from what you said, is it okay if I piggyback off of this?
Yeah, please.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Chris, this is real, what I'm about to share. But because of what you talked about, I'm going to try to put this all in there so they can really see the big picture. I had the pleasure of seeing one of the, I don't think we should say the name, but a big box retailer had a grand opening, right? Now, you know the kind of money they got, fucking millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
If I was the manager of this store, now, the night before, because like 3, 4 a.m., kids are lined up. Basically, you know, I'm saying kids, you know, young people, okay? In their 30s, 20s, and 30s. They're lined up, you know, outside in the parking lot. They're throwing the Frisbee around. They're not having a good time. Now, I said, if I were the manager of that store, of course, I would have got corporate approval. Or if you're an independent retailer, say you're a furniture store or a retail appliance, and you're about to have this grand opening, whether this is your first or second location, just get the concept. Follow this. Here's what I would have done. I would have gone outside, introduced myself. Hey, how you guys doing? You know, glad you showed up. I'm Mark Newsom. I'm the manager of the store. Hey, listen, pizza's on us. In about 30 minutes, we're going to have 50, 75 people, whatever it is, and the pizza's on us. That's the first thing. Now, in this age of social media, my friend, what do you think would have happened when those pizzas showed up? Those young people would have whipped out their phones, started blowing up all over social media. We're here for the grand opening. The store hadn't opened yet. The manager just came out, brought pizza in, and y'all get a pizza, right? That's the first thing. Second thing I would have done. Said, what do you guys like? Do you any coffee drinkers, any cocoa? I would have made, let's say Chris owns a non-franchised gourmet bakery. I said, Chris, about 3 or 4 in the morning, I want you to show up. It's your portable man. I'm going to pay for this. What about X number of pounds of gourmet coffee? And you know that big giant cup you sell, Chris, that big gulp, the one that sells for retails for $11.99? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pay you for the cups, and we're going to pay you for the gourmet coffee, and all you're going to do is show up, Chris's coffee, and you're going to pass out coffee and refills at the store. But here's the clincher, ladies and gentlemen. This is how Chris is going to turn a one-time sale into a perpetual gold mine. But, you know, when he's talking about getting the customers to come back and forth, Chris is going to tell him and his assistant or whoever there is helping him. Every time he passes out a cup, he says, hey, I'm Chris's coffee shop 2 blocks over there. And that's, oh, yeah, I've seen your shop. Every time you bring this cup back from now on, you don't pay $11.99. You pay $3.99. Now, is that going to increase my repeat customers? Now, Chris is... He's crazy like a fox. He already knows he's going to make the money on the back end. What do you mean, Mark? When he sells the birthday cakes, when he gets the cookies, the muffins, and Chris is going to say to everybody who comes up to his booth, I mean, his little van, he's going to say, by the way, do you own a business? Do you have your card? Because every month we do a drawing, we pull out one card, you get a gallon of coffee for free. And muffins, you could get up to $30 worth of goods at our hard cost. What does he want? Word of mouth and mouse. Are you following me, ladies and gentlemen? So he's working the individuals and he's working the local businesses because he's going to set up some joint ventures and all this.
Love it.
My point is, you see that, right? Now, let's take it a step further because we're not done. Here's the other thing we're doing. I'm going to come back out and say, hey, guys, everybody's sick. Take these cards. It's going to be an index card. It's market tested. It's going to say, dear friend, because you are a potential value new customer of blank retailer, please enter our free drawing once a month for the next 6 months or a year. Every month, we're going to have a 2 grand prize winners, one male, one female. You're going to win a $10,000 shopping spree. What do you want? I want word of mouth and mouse. And it says, now, if you enter our drawing and win, I said it wrong, Chris. I got excited. See what happens when I speak with you? I said it wrong. If you enter our free drawing and you win a $5,000 shopping spree. However, simply for dragging a friend with you to claim your prize, it doubles to 10,000. What are we trying to do? Ethically bribe you to drag somebody to that store? Because there's a very good chance 99% of them are not going to walk out of there without buying something, right? And we try to get the guests, first-time guests, on our list too by having a first-time guest, a first-time visitor, free drawing, everybody. So the point is, and now, because we're doing this with email, guess what we're also going to do now? We're going to do every, say, month, we're going to send a free market-tested discounted coupon to Chris's coffee shop to everybody on our list. Hey, our buddy Chris is having a special sale this month on muffins or this week on pastries. Whatever. If you're a small business owner, be sure and let him know because he's got a special discount, not just for you, but your customers, your employees, and your vendors.
What a smart way
to email too. Exponential growth. That's what we're talking about. Because see, most of you are probably sitting here listening up. Oh, come on, that's theory. Yeah, you have to start with the theory. But once you get the theory down, my friend, the sky, and you know what your customers are worth,
yes,
you won't waste as much money on that. Like Chris, I like to call it, like I said, DOA, dead on arrival, traditional advertising. If it takes you between, what's the number, between 7 and 21 touches to be exposed to somebody before they buy, you could cut out 90% of that.
The cost of acquiring a customer is so high these days, we can't afford to look at them any other way than long-term perpetual relationship.
Exactly. This nonsense. I mean, and see, this is, I think they live in a bubble, Chris, is because everybody's watching everybody else in the industry and they're saying, well, Chris is doing that.
Plus or minus 10% of your competitors, you'll never stand out. Then you're just competing on price as a commodity.
And what's going to happen? That's a price war to the bottom. You don't want to play that.
Absolutely. You said something else I want to play off on, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
Word of mouth. That's a Seth Godin term. I love that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Dude, let me tell you a great compliment. A friend of mine told me I write like Seth Godin. I said, oh, that's not true. I said, if I wrote like Seth Godin, I'd be a guru. I mean, that guy's brilliant. Oh, I love Seth Godin.
He's so good at communicating innovative, counterintuitive ideas to make them understandable and actionable. That's Seth.
On every level, I agree. He is so. Have you heard the one about the little birds? Where he tells a story, he says you picture the desert, he says, and it's super hot. I mean, it's just, you know, that, oh, it's 107 degrees in the shade. He says, and the hippos come down to the lake and everybody spreads because those hippos are dangerous. And they get into the water. And unfortunately, the top of their heads, all the way down to their tails or back, is still exposed to the elements. So these mosquitoes are just having a field day on them. When out of nowhere, a superhero shows up. A tiny little bird, one at the top of his head, one at the tail. They're just gorging on these mosquitoes. They're just loving it. And then with no hesitation, get this, the hippo opens his mouth and these little birds fly into his mouth and pick the teeth and clean it with no fear of being eaten. Now, of course, you know, and this is a Seth Godinism. So you're sitting here, Chris, on the edge of your seat, saying, what is the catch? And he says, service. The little tiny bird is being of service to the giant hippo. He says, so you and I, small business owners and service providers, we're the tiny birds. Find yourself some hippos and start servicing them. Or to flip it around, let's say Chris is the hippo. Find the little birds like Mark. Hey, man, if you're a marketer, okay, or you call yourself a marketer, Chris has a retail business. And I'm saying this for both Chris and, because Chris already knows this, but I'm saying this is Chris's approach and this is your approach as a marketer. Chris doesn't have time to follow up with his quote unquote dead leads. But you're just starting out as a marketer. You've got plenty of time. So Chris says, Mark, here's the deal. I'll let you go through my dead files. Before you send anything out, email or direct snail mail, you run it by me. I got to clear it. Of course. He says, but when I clear it, everything that comes through the door, I'm giving you 25% or X percent. And here's the thing. Chris might, because Chris is a genius. So Chris might say, hey, Mark, you do right by me. And I'm going to spread your name amongst my peers. So you do it for me for 15%, but you can charge them 25. but I'm going to give you testimony and I'm open some doors. And I said, okay, I got you. I see the point. So the point is, I use Chris. I make him some money. He hits me off on a performance basis, but he opens doors by saying, hey, man, this guy Mark Newsom did a fantastic job. He just went through my dead files. You know, we really don't have the time to allocate somebody to do it. This guy's good with email. He's good with follow-up. And he brought in X amount of business in this amount of time. So they go, really? Is this guy available? So he goes, I don't know. Here's his calendar. Here's his phone number. Why don't you call him?
I can jump in because you're throwing out so much gold. I feel like I need to advocate for the listener and help them unpack this gold putting out there. One of the things you said, the hippos and the birds example, I love that.
Yeah,
I would also Seth Godin. Discernment is also a part of that. Pick the right hippos. The birds know not to do it with crocodiles, for instance.
Yeah, right. If they want to survive.
And it's all about opening your blinders up and seeing opportunity where others don't. Because if you have the eyes to see, the world is pouring opportunities at you from all directions.
Is that what Jay says? Is that what he advocates?
He says something along those lines. I'm quoting him partially and adding my own embellishment to it. Because it's like there's this thing in the brain called the reticular activating system.
Yes.
And it's the filter that filters out the billions or trillions of pieces of information flowing around us. We only see a small spectrum of light. You know, there's also infrared, and for instance, that we don't see. We only hear a small spectrum of sounds. There's subsonic sounds, and there's sounds that bats can hear. Bats have sensory apparatus. They hear so well, they can locate it. They hear like we see. They can locate in space where sound is and hear it, so they perceive the three-dimensionality and movement of mosquitoes. You know, so the point is, it's the human's reticular activating system that filters out things so we're handled consciously, the 5 to 7 bits of information that we can handle at a given time. So when you know that and you start to peel those blinders back with an eye, it's like, where am I not seeing opportunity? Where are my mental habits preventing me from noticing potential for symbiotic relationships like you're talking about? Host beneficiary relationships where you can be the host and help another business or be the beneficiary. And just something like we're doing now in the digital.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Audiences are
the ones
to communicate, especially when anybody now can use AI and generate a lot of content. Yeah, it'll be vanilla content if they're not a good writer to work with. Sure. But to stand out, the human aspect and partnering with people who already have an audience that would be receptive to your message to add value to their audience and to build a relationship through their audience. And I'm just a big fan of podcasts for that reason, because it's human. Mm-hmm. And it's using other people's audiences in a way that it's a win-win situation for all concerned.
And man, in fact, you really exploded Pandora's box, because you just made me think about three things I got to share with your audience.
Please, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, this person. I know Chris has told you this, but if I come on his show and I don't share this, it's criminal. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are 100% attempting to build your business or service or your brand strictly on social media, your Titanic is headed for an iceberg. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you got 500,000 people following you on LinkedIn, another 500,000 on X, and for whatever reason, somebody feels like you violated their terms of service and they pull a plug on your account, and all you've got is social media, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn, whatever, your goose is cooked. So follow this. Chris, I like to explain it like this. Building 100%, attempting to build 100% solely on social media is like sleeping on your ex-in-law's couch. One day they may come home and say, Chris, I love you. Mark, I love you. But you got to go. Where's it going to leave you, people? Homeless. One of the guys that's coaching me on LinkedIn right now, Chris, guess what? Just had his LinkedIn account temporarily shut down. Hello? So you say, well, what's your alternative, Mark? Get them off social media by offering some type of giveaway and building your own opt-in email list. But Mark and Chris, I thought email was dead. Anybody that tells you that, two things. Number one, they're trying to sell you something else. But number two, run in the opposite direction. Because all we're doing is renting social media audiences, ladies and gentlemen. We don't own them.
Right.
When you have your own opt-in email list, that's an asset. Chris has 2 million people on his email list. We're going to find him and try to offer a joint venture with him because we want to get in front of his audience. He controls that. He doesn't have to get anybody's permission. Social media, you're on eggshells all the time. That's the first thing. Here's the other thing. Chris, is it okay if we share the magic question with your audience?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, follow this. This is the man. We're going to see right now if this so-called Mr. Marketing guy, Mark Newsom, has the goods. Chris has no idea. I promise you, we have not rehearsed this. This is strictly authentic. But I am going to share the magic question with Chris. We're going to hear what his response is. Chris, is it okay if I periodically refer you new customers and business?
Well, of course. What a great question.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that, right? Now, let me translate that for you. You heard the word, but like we said, we got to see beyond. You can't just see the trees. I want you to see the forest. Here's what Chris is really saying. Mark, not only are you going to get access to my current, oh, I'm sorry. Here's the backup, Chris. I forgot. I got excited. And by the same token, as long as it doesn't take away from anything you're doing currently, now, or in the future, are you okay with periodically returning the favor?
Absolutely.
You heard the words. Now I can say what I need to say, Chris. I apologize. Let me share what Chris is really saying. You guys are hearing the words, but you're not getting the concept. I promise you, 99% of you are not. Chris is really saying, Mark, not only do you get access to my current awesome resources, connections, relationships, but the ones I'm going to have tomorrow, next week, next year, that are 10 times better, you get access to them. That's why I call it the magic question, because it's the hinge that swings the door of opportunity wide open. So who do you ask the magic question to? Your current vendors and your future vendors that you already have rapport with. If by some odd chance, ladies and gentlemen, they say no, you simply thank them and pivot and move on. Because I promise you, there'll be more yeses than nos. Do you not agree, Chris?
Absolutely.
That's the magic question. That's perfect. So if you're not asking that of your vendors, shame on you. You're leaving money on the table. And now my big crescendo. This is my favorite thing, Chris. Let's say Chris has a retail furniture store. I always use jewelry, but I'm going to use furniture store. I'll use the jewelry store when you guys convince Chris to bring me back. Okay. So anyway, here's what I implore you to do. Let's say Chris. I usually use jewelry, but I'm going to use a furniture store to show you how versatile this is, or an appliance store. Chris is going to offer, get this, a $10,000 master living room and bedroom suite that he's about to put on closeout anyway. It has a market value of $10,000 or X, $15,000, it doesn't matter. The higher the better, but his actual hard cost is half. So let's say if it's $15,000, that's $7,500 actual hard cost. So here's what Chris says. He checks with, you know, his legal eagle. He says, I want to give a raffle. Raffles, ladies and gentlemen, they're American, but they have different, you know, some legal stuff could go on. So Chris gets the legal stuff taken care of. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer this $15,000 master bedroom, master living room suite in a raffle. A one-time payment of $2,000. Now, remember, it's hard cost. It's $7,500. But for $2,000, you can enter this raffle, one guaranteed winner a month. We're going to do it through the summer when it's slow. I'm sorry, through the winter when it's slow. And every month, we have two winners. Even though one is going to be on a closeout, we're going to just take another one. It's only $7,500. It's a $15,000 investment to make it. And he's going to have a man and a woman. But now, here's the kicker. This is what I want to show you about email, thinking outside the box. Here's what Chris says. Our VIP email subscribers only pay a one-time fee of $500 to enter the same raffle. What would you rather do, ladies and gentlemen? Pay $2,000 or pay $500? Chris doesn't care. He just wants you on his list. But if you pay $500, you're more apt to want to join the list.
Love that.
Now, at $7,500, because my math isn't greatest, but I know that would be 12 people at $500 each. He's paid his hard costs. Now, Chris isn't done. For all that overage, Chris reaches out to five or six local charities and says, here's what I'm going to do. Live on Facebook. I'm going to set up a wheel that has all of you charities on it. We're going to spin that wheel live. Whichever one it lands on, you get 50% or X over that overage of my hard costs. But, I'm sorry, I said it wrong, Chris. You get 25% of that overage of my hard costs. However, if you want to get 50% of my overage, all you got to do is give my market-tested offer, my index card or ad, put it in your directory. And every customer who spends over X as a donation, they get that extremely time-sensitive discount. Love. Do you not see, ladies and gentlemen, how this guy's going to blow this thing out of the water and his competitors are going to be scratching their heads saying, what is this guy doing?
I'm saying that you're in my audience, so I'm going to look out for you. You're part. You have a sense of membership, a sense of community. And that's what we have to have these days. You know, it's not targeting people with technology based on their habits, because you do too much of that, people get resentful because they know their data is being harvested. It's building an audience around offering real value and caring about the people in your audience and realizing, hey, you're giving me permission to communicate to you. What I communicate is going to be empowering. It's going to be helpful. Might have a little bit of a sales pitch in there because I have things to sell, but the things I sell are designed to enrich your life beyond alternatives and whatever.
Bingo. I hope you guys are listening.
I wanted to pivot to another area because I understand you're really good on LinkedIn, and I know that's really important to a lot of our listeners, at least.
That's great.
What can you share with our listeners about innovative strategies on LinkedIn or things that the average person who's trying to get better at LinkedIn wouldn't know that you can empower them with?
Okay, you just embarrassed me. But before I do that, I got to share you a fabulous quote that I got off of one of the articles off Chris's feed from Brandon Calhoun. This is just so powerful, Chris. Remember this quote? He says, great leaders grow, refine, and step into bigger moments every day.
Absolutely.
I saw that and I said, this dude is describing Chris, you know? So the point is, LinkedIn, let me share something with you, ladies and gentlemen. This is, Chris, when I read this, and I you may have already shared this with your audience, this is powerful. They claim it's already 1 billion people on LinkedIn worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to them. Not like Facebook, you know, with all these people, you're on there to watch a cat video. No, no, no. This is B2B, B2C, and H2H, H2H, human to human. Listen at this staggering figure for those of you who are just getting on LinkedIn or on LinkedIn. If your banner is completely blank, think of this. Would you hand somebody a business card that only had your picture on it? How does anybody know what you do?
Would you walk in a store that didn't have a sign up telling you what was in
there? That doesn't have a sign. How do you know it's a barbershop? Yeah. You're right. I mean, so if you don't know what to do on a banner, reach out to me. I can put you on to an expert, a lady who's helping me. She's fabulous. She's crushing it on LinkedIn. But that's the first thing. Here's the second thing, Chris. Here's the reason why I said you're embarrassed. When I first got on, Chris, how long have you been on LinkedIn?
Oh, gee. Seriously, just a few years, but started probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, me too. But here's the thing. And I, ladies and gentlemen, this is embarrassing, but I have to admit it because he's asking me to share this with you. Chris, when I first got on LinkedIn, I treated the word engagement like it was a dirty word, like it was a federal offense. I didn't engage. I just put my content out there. Look at me. I'm so great. And I got crickets. And I didn't know why. So I've come to realize what I'm trying to say, what we're trying to tell you is engage. Go find your target market and you look at their content and don't use AI. Please do not do this. Be, like you said, be authentic. You find something that you can relate to, resonate with, share something with, and you start doing that. And here's what's going to happen. Those people are going to mosey their way over to your profile, right, Chris? And going to check you out. And if they got a podcast, or they got a blog, or they got a radio show, whatever, they're going to start inviting you. Right. I promise you that's what's going to happen. If you do now, not tomorrow, this is not microwave LinkedIn success. Okay, you got to get that out of your head. But you start, I call it breadcrumbing your way to success, Chris. You just start putting these breadcrumbs out there. And that's what starts to happen. And before you know it, you start building a reliable following, men and women who will repost your content, which means when they repost it, your stuff shows up on somebody else's feed and you get additional exposure for no more expense.
Yep.
So the free drawing, Chris, because I know we're getting close. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know how to set up a free drawing, reach out to Chris or myself. I'll be happy to help you. In fact, I'll tell you something else. I will go as far, if you're in Chris's audience, you can just say you're in Chris's audience. I will give you a free, listen to me now, one-on-one, I call it power consultation for hype, Chris, but a power consultation. But now let me be crystal clear. If I deliver the goods, I just expect a video testimonial from her. Now, if you're scared to get in front of the camera, I'll take a risk. But I want a testimonial if I deliver the goods. If I don't deliver the goods, you know, we both put up an hour and, you know, we just took a chance. But if you're in Chris's audience, you let me know you're in his Chris's audience. I normally do 30 minutes. I'm going to do 60 for you because I want to get you out there. And if you're offline, you better reach out to me.
Love it.
Because I got some stuff. We both got some stuff for you. Right.
To the listener, I'm going to link to Mark's LinkedIn. So you can just go to the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. If you're listening on an app, the link is in the episode description. And Mark, I love that you mentioned Brandon Calhoun. He's a friend and he is a brilliant leader in recruiting. And I would say if you're listening to this and you're into leadership in general, follow Brandon on LinkedIn. He's a great guy. So glad you commented on his thread on leadership.
Absolutely. I was blown away when I read that.
Really good ones. Wow, that's heavy. And Mark, this has been awesome. I've got a couple things. I've got two questions that I always end these with.
Okay, my friend.
The question is, and you've already kind of answered this, but just to consolidate it and put it into a bite-sized package for the listeners who might be like, okay, what can I do with this? What are the top three things that you would recommend the listener do that they can do right away to improve their business?
Number one, get your own list.
Okay.
Number two, do not 100% rely on social media. Number three, we're going to do four, Chris. Can we give them a bonus? Sure. Upselling. Would you like fries with that? You sell something you already have, either your own product or service or an affiliate product or JV product or whatever you want to call it. And let's see. So you got upsells, build your own list, offer a free drawing for something you could give and have and stop treating your customers like a one-night stand. Those four things are enough to get you off center. And if you need any more, you know, there's two people you can reach out to that'll help.
Awesome. And for the listener who's listening to this thinking, I want to reach out to Mark, how would they find you?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find me at my self-hosted WordPress blog. That's you, all one word, Y-O-U, can, C-A-N, market online now. Make sure you put the now.com. That's my self-hosted blog. There's a ton of information on there. If you can't find, ladies and gentlemen, here's my challenge. If you go to my blog, youcanmarketonlinenow.com. And Chris, you had it in the show notes, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. If you go there and read five blog posts, not at the same time, over time, if you don't find one idea that will help you move off center, I'm not your guy.
Pretty sure they will.
Pretty sure. I mean, I don't will. I mean,
you're preaching things that can take just about any business and rapidly accelerate the growth. And going back to Jay Abraham, a thing that he said that struck me a long time ago is marketing is absolutely your highest leverage in business, because you can take $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month or $100,000 a month, whatever you're spending on marketing, and spend the same thing, but do it differently and produce not a 50% better return, but 100 or hundreds or 1,000% better return by doing it differently and smarter. There's no other area in business where you can get that kind of return on investment with little or no downside, because you test everything in small test first.
I'm going to add a caveat because you spot on. If you're somebody like Chris who's experienced, though, that's true. In fact, Chris, you know this old thing about email, it's a 40% return. For every dollar you put in, you get a $40 return. Yeah, if you're Chris McNeil, you know what you're doing, that's probably true. If you're just starting out, I guarantee that's not true. So the point of what he's making is just learning this stuff and you're gonna be light years ahead of your competitor. I guarantee it, we guarantee it. They're not doing the stuff they don't even know to do it. Chris, they don't even know they need a headline. A what's in it for me type of headline. So we can show you how to write those. I can give you a piece of software that's free. You can start testing your headlines to see how well they do. Ladies and gentlemen, reach out to me. You're gonna get more out of it than you put into it. Okay, that's just the bottom line.
Fantastic. Greatly enjoyed it, Mark. This has been fantastic.
Likewise, my friend.
Super value added.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant, author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. And this has been episode 92, Exponential Business Growth with Mark Newsom. Unlocking hidden revenue, the power of customer lifetime value, strategic upsells, and Jay Abraham-inspired marketing for thought leaders, where we discuss topics like the pivot that changed everything for Mark, Jay Abraham's three most powerful marketing strategies and how to apply them, thinking outside the box, leveraging partnerships to cut costs and boost profits, the power of knowing lifetime customer value in exponential growth through customer relationship mastery. And if you'd like to dive even deeper into today's topics and you're listening on an app, visit the episode page at thoughtleadershipstudio.com, which is linked in the episode description. You'll find a curated transcript, links to the resources mentioned, including Mark's LinkedIn page and his website, as well as actionable insights from this conversation. While you're there, don't forget to explore additional resources to elevate your influence and impact. Download the free ebook, Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, or schedule a free consultation with me to discover how the thought process of strategic thought leadership can help you lead with greater clarity and purpose and elevate and empower all the marketing and communication you do. And finally, if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to share it with someone who could benefit from the insights shared today. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to help us bring more of this kind of content to listeners like you. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time on Thought Leadership Studio.
Thought Leadership Studio. Mm-hmm.